This is Jody Peterson with the KVNF Regional Newscast. To get exercise and relieve stress during the pandemic, many Western Slope residents have been hitting the local trails. Now, hiking and ATV trails here and across the state will see some new grant funding. Colorado Parks and Wildlife approved $4.23 million for off-highway vehicle trail grants in Montrose, Delta, and Mesa counties. They include trail maintenance, improvement of trailheads, parking, and related facilities, and education and rider ethics training. Hikers and bikers will see trail improvements as well, $2.7 million statewide for non-motorized trail grants. Some of the funded projects include a regional trail plan for multiple-use trails near Ridgeway and biological and cultural surveys to be done for proposed trails near Fruta. The coronavirus outbreak is expected to take even more money out of the state budget than lawmakers were originally expecting. KVNF's Scott Franz has more.
Lawmakers thought they'd have to cut between $2 and $3 billion from next year's budget, but the state's chief economist, Kate Watkins, says they need to cut $3.3 billion. She says the virus's impact on the economy over the last 2 months has been, quote, unimaginable.
Getting back up to that pre-COVID economic levels of activity, it's going to take years to get back up to that level.
Watkins says there is a lot of uncertainty in the forecast, and a resurgence of the virus could make the projections even worse. Lawmakers are planning to return to the Capitol later this month to decide how to cut about 10% from their spending plan. I'm Scott Franz in Denver.
State lawmakers are delaying their return to the Capitol until after Memorial Day, reports KVNF's Scott Franz.
The legislature adjourned almost 2 months ago because of the coronavirus. Democrats now say they need more time to balance a budget that has been devastated by the outbreak. They're also working on plans to make the Capitol safer for themselves and visitors. They may require everyone in the building to wear masks and have their temperatures taken before they enter. Meanwhile, Republicans are criticizing the decision to delay the session until May 26th. Senator Paul Lundeen of Monument says lawmakers need to get back to work to help the state respond to the crisis. They must pass a budget before the new fiscal year starts in July. I'm Scott Franz in Denver.
Yellowstone grizzly bears are currently under Endangered Species Act protections, but the bear's status is once again being reviewed in federal courts. Camilla Kudelska of the Mountain West News Bureau explains.
The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service delisted Yellowstone grizzly bears back in 2017, but that decision was challenged by environmental groups and Native American tribes. In September of 2018, a judge put the bears back on the threatened species list, saying the agency hadn't used the best available science in its decision. He asked that a comprehensive review of the entire species in the lower 48th be part of any future plan. Jonathan Wood is an attorney who litigates environmental, property rights, and constitutional cases. He supports the delisting and says the government wants a blank slate as it looks at delisting again.
So that the next delisting decision isn't subject to any of the language in the opinion. They basically want an open record for the ongoing status review and next delisting effort.
Meanwhile, Wyoming is asking for the protections for the grizzly to be overturned altogether. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Camila Kudelska.
Like many tribal nations, the two tribes that share Wyoming's Wind River Reservation have been hit hard by COVID-19. At the same time, they've emerged as leaders in combating the pandemic and in supporting their communities through the fallout. For the Mountain West News Bureau, Savannah Marr reports.
For the past 140 years, the Eastern Shoshone and Northern Arapaho tribes have both called the Wind River Valley home. They didn't choose to share this reservation, and it's no secret that the two tribal governments don't always agree. But since the start of the pandemic, they've been on the same page about one thing.
We had to try to jump out ahead of this and protect our people.
Stephen Fasthorse is with the Northern Arapaho Business Council. He says when it comes to COVID-19, Native people are especially at risk, with many underlying conditions like diabetes and heart disease. Fasthorse blames the federal government for this, for significantly underfunding the Indian Health Service.
As far as the chronic diseases that a lot of our tribal members face, even before this pandemic, the lack of healthcare systems on the reservation, we had to keep this from turning into a widespread wildfire.
So the two tribes issued a joint stay-at-home order. Tribal members have been on lockdown since March 31st. They face fines and even jail time if they leave their homes for non-essential purposes. Dr. Paul Ebert runs the Northern Arapaho Tribe's clinic. He says this strict order is coupled with an aggressive medical strategy.
We decided early on that testing was going to be very important.
Since mid-March, they've tested over 3,000 people from both tribes. That's about 30% of all the tests conducted in Wyoming.
Over half of our cases are people who were asymptomatic. These are people who would not have been tested in the county or other places in the state.
They're so far ahead of the curve that some non-natives in the area have been wanting to come to the tribal clinic to get tested. But all that testing isn't cheap, and the Northern Arapaho tribe is footing the bill. Meanwhile, both tribes are also facing a budget crisis. Their casinos are closed, their oil and gas revenues have taken a nosedive, and unlike state and local governments, they don't have a tax base to fall back on. Karen Snyder of the Eastern Shoshone Business Council says that means cuts to vital social services when they're needed most.
We know that there's a lot of tribal members that are going without.
She says the tribes have gotten pretty creative in helping their members stay afloat.
And hoping to provide some immediate relief for this, we opened up a special hunting season. We did have a volunteer group with the Shoshone tribe, and just hats off to those individuals. They had volunteered to go out and hunt for our elders.
On top of that, both tribes have been hosting food and supply distributions around the reservation, and they're providing quarantine housing as a persistent problem on the reservation is overcrowding due to a housing shortage.
We do everything that we can to keep them home, to keep them safe, to keep them sheltered in whatever it is that we need to do and keep them healthy for the most part.
Still, Wind River has already lost community members. On April 20th, four members of the Northern Arapaho tribe died from complications of COVID-19. State Representative Andy Clifford, whose district encompasses much of the reservation, says that hit her constituents hard.
The sense of urgency for us as tribal people, as Indigenous people, to take care of our people. One death was one too many for us.
She says the strict stay-at-home order and the mass testing on the reservation will prevent more tragedy. But there's been one ugly consequence to this approach. More testing means a higher rate of confirmed COVID-19 cases on the reservation, and Clifford says some border town residents have been twisting that data and blaming Native people for the spread of the illness.
These racist comments and actions were going to occur. It's just a matter of when. And unfortunately, it started because of the four deaths, but it doesn't surprise me.
And Clifford isn't surprised that her constituents are largely abiding the stay-at-home order. She believes they're comfortable making a sacrifice on behalf of the community. Wind River hasn't had any rallies protesting the restrictions. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Savannah Marr.
And that was the KVNF Regional Newscast. Thanks for tuning in.